Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined by the entire crew back today. So all at once, Tracy, Bo, Cody, how are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Bo is doing so well. We've got Matt behind the glass, Karen sitting here with me in studio, and Cody, what are we going to talk about today? What's the topic?
The unreasonable leader.
That's right, the unreasonable leader. And I don't know where I heard this, but somebody once said that to be a great leader, you have to be slightly unreasonable, which makes sense. And it's not just about being a manager, a CEO, or anything like that. It's about if you're going to lead people, be an influencer in the world, a leader, you can't be completely reasonable because you have to get people to do things that they might not want to do or think is possible. And so anyone that's truly a leader is going to have to be unreasonable often. And that's easy to say, but it's hard to do. And I want to talk about that today. So that's the topic.
I was going to make a joke at the beginning, Pat, that this is the name of your autobiography that you're working on. But I don't say that. I don't say that disparagingly, because I think that there's so much that is true about if you're going to be a leader, part of that is pushing people beyond a comfort zone. And this is some of what you're getting at with this, is that you have to sometimes, that appears to be unreasonable at times when you're holding people accountable or pushing them beyond what they're comfortable doing. And your fortitude to be able to be a leader who does that when it's necessary and as long as it's necessary is something that is a hallmark of really great leaders.
Yeah, we understand this in other industries that great coaches push athletes, or great writing coaches push you to write more, right? If you have a weight loss coach, they're a little bit unreasonable with you to help you be able to achieve your goal. And as leaders, pushing people, being a little bit unreasonable is also an indicator of how much we believe in them, that we push them beyond their comfort zone of what they might intuitively or naturally do on their own.
Right. It's a sign that you care. And that goes back to the motive, which is, you know, if your motive is to make the organization better or to help the people you're supposed to be leading get where they need to go, then you must do that. But if your motive is to protect yourself and to experience the rewards of something, you're probably not going to want to, because there is great cost in being an unreasonable leader. And so I think that's one of the other things. It involves suffering. It means people are going to be unhappy with you at times. They're going to push back on you. They're going to think you're pushing too hard. And sometimes that lasts for 5 minutes. Sometimes it lasts for a day. Sometimes it lasts for weeks and months. And the greatest leaders in history have kept people moving in the right direction. And at one point, people say, I'm so glad you did that. But man, until that happens, it's not fun. Hmm.
So Pat, a couple of weeks ago, we recorded a podcast about the importance of relationships at work. And what I've experienced as a leader is sometimes when you're being unreasonable or pushing people, it can lead to disconnection with the people around you because you feel a little less liked. You feel their sort of resistance to that. Can you speak to that tension of being able to stay connected to people while still pushing and challenging?
Boy, I don't know if I can. I mean, I'm off the top of my head, I'm thinking about this. You know, because you have to be vulnerable. I think that's the other thing. They have to see that you're not like uninterested in their concern about being pushed. But at the same time, you can't take on their frustration too much and try to take it away from them, because then you won't push them hard. I mean, it's one of the hardest things I think to do in being a leader, being a parent, being any kind of a leader. And that is, how do you balance the desire you have to please the people that you're leading and to get them to do things that they might not necessarily want to do? I find it exhausting. I find it exhausting. You know, just yesterday we did something. I was doing some leading with a group of people that asked me to come out and lead them because they were struggling with something. And we put together a plan and they didn't like it. It was a big group. And they were like, we don't think that's going to work. And we were convicted that it was what they needed. And so for a week leading up to the event, they were not happy with us. And we got there, they were not happy. And then we took them through it. At the end of it, they were like, oh, that is just what we needed. That we think that was transformative. We'd been waiting for this for 3 years. We were wrong. You were right. Thank you for pushing us to do what you thought we needed to do. And I look back and I'm like, wow, that was a week of feeling pretty crappy. And then we finally got there, and that's wonderful. But the economics of that don't feel very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why the motive, you've got to do it for the good of the people you're trying to lead, not for yourself.
And Pat, I'll go back to something you said at the very beginning of that, which is you are convicted that this was what they needed and it was right. Because I'm sure there are people listening to this podcast that have like that are saying, I've worked for unreasonable leaders. And we're not saying the type of unreasonableness that is like, hey, I want that on my desk tomorrow. You know, it's like making unreasonable demands. It's about your willingness to be, to hold people to what you think is true and right, or cast vision and push people in that direction. And not just, you know, we're not calling all leaders to just get more unreasonable for no reason, you know?
That's right. And if you're pushing, you should have compassion and passion first, passion for improvement, and compassion for the people that are going through it. But not so much that it's just compassion that you let them off the hook, because then you're going to leave them no better off than they were before. That's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, I think that one of the ways that shows up for me is if you're challenging people, sometimes the temptation is to then be a recluse or to pull back because you're feeling their tension. But I think great leaders stay engaged. They stay engaged relationally. I love, Pat, what you said about continuing to be vulnerable with them and to stay connected to them while you're still challenging and pushing.
Yeah. You know, I saw this video for the first time yesterday. People listening probably have seen it. It's on YouTube and everywhere else. And it's, you can put in the woman with the nail in her head. And it's this hilarious thing where this woman and her boyfriend or her husband are sitting down talking, and she's telling him how sad she is and how hard things are and how her head's always it's always pressure. And she feels like people are looking at her and he's like, yeah, it's because you have a nail in your head. It's right in her forehead. And she's like, it's not about the nail. It's not about the nail. Just listen. I just need you to listen. And then he's like, oh, okay. It must be hard. And she goes on, all of my sweaters are snagged. And he's like, well, that's because you have that. And it's not about the nail. And sometimes you just have to go, I know you don't want me to talk about the nail, but you need to get that nail out of your head and you need to reach up and pull it out. And in the meantime, they're going to be like, I can't believe you're not listening. Oh, that feels much better now. So for the 8 out of 10 times that we need to just listen, sometimes people really do just want us to help them and we have to push them to pull the nail out of their head. And I just think it's a hilarious video and it just rang so true for me. But when you're telling somebody, take the nail out of your head, oftentimes they're getting mad at you.
Pat, we haven't talked in 2 days, but I, after 10 years of marriage, I don't recommend this. In the middle of a fight, I thought that showing that video to my wife would bring comic relief to what we were fighting about. It did not do that. So I don't recommend doing that in the midst of a fight.
Fantastic.
That is so great. I can't believe it.
I literally did that 2 nights ago. So
that video must be really popular right now. Everybody's talking about it. But anyway, getting back to the leadership thing, how do you be an unreasonable leader and survive it? You need to do 2 things, I think. First, you have to purify your intentions. You have to constantly say, is this about me? Is this about me? Is this about me? Nope, it's about them. It's about the organization. It's about that person. Then you have to prepare for the inevitable suffering that will go. And it might be 5 minutes, it might be 5 hours, it might be 5 days or 5 weeks, but you have to say, I know that I'm getting them to do something that's for their own good. I have to be prepared for the rejection that might come temporarily.
And I think, Pat, that so much of when we talk about leading, even the concept of leading, I love that you're talking about sort of the stretching and this uncomfortable arena that comes with that, which is because the idea of like, you're leading people to places or an organization to heights that they've not been before, or to explore truths that they've not explored before. That means that the leader does go out first. You know, it's sort of like if there's no tension there, we're all sort of huddled in the center of that comfortable circle rather than exploring the edges of that. So I love that the very concept of what you're bringing up is like, boy, if you're feeling like, hey, there's no times where I have to be unreasonable, or that I'm making my team feel that I'm unreasonable, you're probably playing it too safe.
Absolutely. And you're protecting yourself at the expense of their growth.
Yep.
You know, it's my turn to do the unpaid advertisement. And I'm going to slide in the unpaid ad right now, but it's all about this. Okay, so this is an unpaid ad that's really about the topic. Because I'm reading a book. I'm going to do an unpaid ad for a book by Mark Twain. The number one book that Mark Twain ever wrote, according to him, he said, this is by far and away my best book. It took him 12 years to research it, 2 years to write it. He said he got 7 times more joy out of it than any other. And it's called Joan of Arc. Now, I didn't know growing up, I knew Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, all these things. I didn't know he wrote this book. And he said, by far my greatest book is Joan of Arc. I'm in the middle of it right now. Don't tell me how it ends. I like the joke. Everybody knows how it ends. But she, it's crazy. So it's an ad for the book, but it's all about being a leader, an unreasonable leader. So she, at age 17, she is a 17-year-old girl in 15th century France, dirt poor, lived in a village nobody knew of, really small. And she, God called her to save France from the British. The British had overtaken, they had been involved in a war for almost 100 years. And the British had, or the English, had taken over France and were pillaging and raping and stealing and you know, things, bad things happened back then. And she stood up and said, I'm being called to save my nation. And I can't go into the whole story, but she, at the risk of being made fun of and persecuted by the people she spoke to, she kept persisting. She was the laughingstock of her town, of her region. And then she became famous because she had such faith. And the king, this is literally true, it's based on historical information, the king made her the general of the country, in charge of all the armies. And she led them into battle. And they expelled the English after 100 years. And she had to be so, people were like, hey, we haven't won a war in years. I mean, even then, France was not very good at fighting, evidently. And this young lady at age 17 stood there and had people say, you're crazy, we can never do this. And she said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And she led them to victory. And to think that that could happen, an illiterate 17-year-old girl in the 15th century, I don't think people were like, yeah, let's ask that girl what she thinks. If she could do that then, we as leaders can inspire people to do things that they don't believe they can do and tolerate that momentary rejection that we're going to experience in between. Anyway.
I think I love that story. I want to read that book. You know, I'm thinking of other examples of something that was unreasonable that was accomplished, like putting a man on the moon. And when that was announced, they had like 8 years to be able to do it by the end of the decade and were so far behind the Soviets to be able to put a man on the moon. The common idea there is vision. And I wonder if a leader is listening to this and thinking, well, I don't even know how to be unreasonable because the goals that I would have were kind of manageable. It's a great opportunity to return to the vision of why your organization exists, what it is that breaks your heart, and push people in that direction because we can probably accomplish more in 10 years than we could ever imagine if we'll just push ourselves a little bit.
And Cody was joking about he was going to make the unpaid ad for freedom because it's about the 4th of July. But and George Washington was a far better leader than people know. He's not just the famous guy on the dollar bill and the cherry tree and all that. And if there's this wonderful TV show called Turn, T-U-R-N, which is about the spies back then, and it's one of those serials. And he believed in what was best for the country, and he was getting internally persecuted for it. The British were going to kill him if it happened, and he was going to risk everything. He had really nothing personally to gain, but he believed in the country. He believed that people could win this war and that they could do this. And so he was very unreasonable. But it wasn't like, I'm doing something impossible. I'm doing something that others don't think is possible, but I know it is. So there's a good timely example there. All right. And I think that we can wrap it up right there then with the 4th of July, George Washington, Joan of Arc, President Kennedy and the man on the moon and the NASA people. Be an unreasonable leader. Love your people enough to get them to do things that are good for them. Care about them. Have compassion and passion. And know that the suffering is worth it if your motive is to help them. And so we want to encourage more people to be unreasonable leaders. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend and 4th of July week. And we'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.